Revelation chapter 10 in your Bibles. This will be the 25th message in our study in the book of Revelation. It'll be page 81 on your outline if you're turning there so that you can make notes of the thoughts of this morning. Revelation chapter 10. We'll start reading in verse number 1. I'd like to read the entire chapter before we begin our thoughts this morning in Revelation chapter 10. Now remember, in Revelation chapter number 9, we saw the fifth and sixth trumpet judgments. According to our chronology of the book of Revelation, the sixth trumpet brought us to the middle of the tribulation period. So at this point in time, we've came through half of the seven-year tribulation. We've came through the section that our Lord referred to as the beginning of sorrows, which is the first 3.5 years. Starting with the opening of the seventh trumpet that we'll see in chapter number 11, the great tribulation will begin, the great tribulation being the last 3.5 years of the tribulation period. Chapter 10 represents a pause in the movement of time in the tribulation period, and I'd refer you to your notes on the content and chronology outline as you're reading through the book of Revelation, as you're reading individual chapters, if you want to keep it in your mind, if you have any difficulty with keeping in your mind time-wise where this falls in the tribulation period, turn back to that content and chronology outline that's in your notes, and we have just a brief thought on each of the chapters as to where it falls time-wise during the tribulation period, and that'll be of some benefit to you, we trust. Revelation chapter 10, and verse number 1, the Bible says, "And I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was upon his head. And his face was as it were the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire. And he had in his hand a little book open, and he set his right foot upon the sea, and his left foot on the earth, and cried with a loud voice, as when a lion roareth. And when he had cried, seven thunders uttered their voices. And when the seven thunders had uttered their voices, I was about to write, and I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, Seal up those things which the seven thunders uttered, and write them not. And the angel which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth lifted up his hand to heaven, and sware by him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that therein are, and the earth and the things that therein are, and the sea and the things that are therein, that there should be time no longer. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as he hath declared to his servants the prophets. And the voice which I heard from heaven spake unto me again and said, Go and take the little book which is open in the hand of the angel, which standeth upon the sea and upon the earth. And I went unto the angel and said unto him, Give me the little book. And he said unto me, Take it and eat it up, and it shall make thy belly bitter, but it shall be in thy mouth sweet as honey. And I took the little book out of the angel's hand and ate it up, and it was in my mouth sweet as honey. And as soon as I had eaten it, my belly was bitter. And he said unto me, Thou must prophesy again before many peoples, and nations, and tongues, and kings." As previously stated, chapter 10 is a interlude, or a pause, a parenthesis in the movement of time in the tribulation period. In chapter 11 to verse 15, the opening of the sounding of the seventh trumpet, time will begin to move in the tribulation period again. It's also interesting to note that while the scenes have been given in previous chapters, John, remember, was caught up into heaven. Evidently, John has moved in chapter number 10 because the Bible seems to show John now back on earth, because he is viewing a mighty angel that is coming down from heaven. So evidently, John has moved from heaven back to earth for the giving of this vision in chapter number 10. There's another mighty angel. The Bible says, "And I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven." There's another mighty angel By the way, in your notes, it says there's another might. The word Y, the letter Y is left off. It should say there's another mighty angel associated with the book in chapter 5 and verse 2. Now, folks, an interesting thought. Many good Bible commentators believe that this mighty angel pictured here in chapter 10 is the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. They believe that because of the description that is given. Much of what is said of this angel is specifically said of the Lord Jesus Christ previously in the book of Revelation and also in other portions of Scripture. It is my position that this is not the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe that this is indeed a mighty angel as has been given here. There's two reasons I'm going to kind of jump ahead just a little bit in the notes. The first reason I believe that this is an angel and not the Lord Jesus Christ is because the word another in verse 1 means another of the same kind. In other words, it says another mighty angel or another angel like angels that have been previously seen. A second reason I don't believe that this is the Lord Jesus Christ is because the time period is not right. According to the teaching throughout the book of Revelation, other portions in the Word of God that relate to the book of Revelation, the Lord Jesus Christ is not seen on earth during the tribulation period. He's going to be seen in chapter 19 coming down from heaven on a white horse and all at the Battle of Armageddon, which takes place at the end of the tribulation period. So time-wise, it doesn't fit for the Lord Jesus Christ to be seen on earth during the middle of the tribulation period. And by the way, chapter 10 is, even though time is pausing in a time perspective, chapter 10 is taking place at the middle of the tribulation period. I would close my thoughts on that thought by saying this, and there's a thought about it at the end of this chapter in your notes, and you can look at it later. There is a good Bible argument that could be made for this angel being the Lord Jesus Christ. I do not hold that view. But if we desire to do so, we could give many pages of why this could be the Lord Jesus Christ, remembering that in the Old Testament, There are many pre-incarnate appearances of the Lord Jesus Christ. They're referred to as theophanies. A theophany is a pre-incarnate appearance of the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, the Lord Jesus Christ appeared, being referred to as the angel of the Lord in Old Testament times, and it was an appearance of the Lord Jesus Christ before the Lord Jesus Christ ever came incarnate in the flesh and was born of the Virgin Mary. So I wouldn't pick a fight. I wouldn't pick a fight with those Bible commentators that say that this is the Lord Jesus Christ, even though I don't agree with that, and I believe that this is indeed an angel and not the Lord Jesus Christ. I would also say, while I have some problems proving this from the Bible, and I don't particularly hold this view, there are other good Bible commentators that say that this angel is the angel Gabriel. And they say that because they go back and they reference what's given here of this angel to Daniel chapter 12 and a couple other references in the book of Daniel, where the book of Daniel is referring to the angel Gabriel, and they try to reference this here. The problem that I have with that, even though Gabriel is specifically mentioned by name in the book of Daniel in chapters before chapter 12. When you get to the reference that they give in chapter 12, I cannot prove in my own mind that that portion is absolutely referring to the angel Gabriel, who was previously mentioned by name. I throw that out to say this. Folks, just because myself or anybody else gives Bible references for a thing doesn't necessarily prove it. You got to go back and read those references and make sure that they are applying to what it is that's being studied at hand. So sometimes it's kind of a leap to make one thing that's mentioned in the Bible be synonymous with another thing that's mentioned in the Bible. So you've got to kind of watch that. And Bible commentators are pretty notorious for that, by the way. And they'll give references to prove a thing. And when you turn and read those references, then you can't prove that the reference that they're giving actually applies to the situation at hand. So you got to kind of watch that, use some spiritual discernment. We're talking about good folks here, folks. We're talking about saved people that love the Lord Jesus Christ. We're not talking about somebody that's trying to teach false teaching. There's just a difference of opinion sometime, and you don't automatically accept things. You have to study for yourself, have the Spirit of God to lead, so that you come to an understanding of the Word of God based on your own study and not what someone else has said. Notice that the Bible says concerning this angel, he's clothed with a cloud. A cloud is often identified, or God is often identified with clouds in the Bible. For example, in Ezekiel chapter 24 and verse 15 and following, Ezekiel 34 and 5 and other portions in the Word of God. The cloud is a garment of divine presence and was associated with divine movements in the Word of God. The Bible says that this angel had a rainbow upon his head. This indicates divine mercy in the midst of judgment. The Bible says that his face was as it were the sun. Now, it didn't say that his face was shining like the sun. It says as it were. In other words, it was bright and brilliant like the sun is. You have some symbolic language there. This reminds us, of course, of an earlier description of the Lord Jesus Christ, particularly Revelation chapter 1 and verse 16. The Bible says that His feet was as pillars of fire. And of course, those feet are of fire speak of judgment. And of course, it takes our minds back to Revelation chapter 1 and verse 15 in the vision of the glorified Christ, where His feet were as fire. Now, there's no doubt. There's no doubt that the descriptive language of this angel are descriptions that remind us of deity. That's the reason that some believe that this is Christ. I believe it's just an angel. But I believe that it's an angel acting as a divine representative and reflecting the appearance or bearing the appearance of deity. In other words, this angel is acting as a representative of the Lord Jesus Christ. John is looking, he sees this brilliant angel come down from heaven, and as he sees him coming down, he's reminded of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now remember what's happening. Jesus Christ is in the process of redeeming the earth and humanity from the cruel usurper Satan. He's been opening the seals of that book in chapter 4 and 5. As he opens each seal, the judgment and redemption process has been going on earth. We've came to the middle of the tribulation period. There's a pause, and the Lord is filling in some details now for the apostle. And of course, he's writing it down so that you and I will have it today. Verse number 2. This angel had in his hand a little book open, and he set his right foot on the sea and his left foot on the earth. This little book is not exactly, now watch it, this little book is not exactly the same as the seven seal book of chapter 5, but I believe it contains a lot of the same content. You say, Brother Kirkpatrick, what are you talking about? Folks, in my mind, as I've studied this and looked at it, I believe that this little book has got the balance of what's not been revealed to us in that seven seal book. Now remember this. The scroll, the seven seal scroll that the Lord Jesus Christ originally took out of the hand of the Father, contained all the steps in the redemption process of the earth. The Lord Jesus Christ began to open those up. Remember, at the beginning it was sealed. But He began to open it up. Keep in mind that He's already opened the seven seals. It was that scroll that was originally sealed with seven seals. He's already opened all of those seven seals. And remember, when He opened the seventh seal, the seven trumpet judgments came forth out of that seventh seal. In chapter 11 to verse 15, the seventh trumpet is going to sound, and when the seventh trumpet sounds, out of that seventh trumpet is going to come the last set of seven judgments, which is the vial or the bowl judgments. So here's what I'm saying. I'm saying that book in chapter 4 and 5 was originally sealed. The Lord Jesus Christ has opened it up. This little book, the Bible says, is open now. It's open because the Lord Jesus Christ has opened the seals. The contents of this little book, I'm persuaded, are those final judgments that have not yet been given. We've came to the midway point. We've came to a little bit of pause here. God is causing us to reflect on things, and God is going to give John a perspective on what's going on and what's going to continue to go on, and remind him that he's still got a lot of work to do. He's still got to testify among a lot of people, give a lot of information. It's not over with yet. Well, verse number 7, if we'll jump forward, look at verse number 7. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as he hath declared to his servants the prophets. Now, the Bible indicates here to me that the contents of this little book that we're seeing opened in the hand of this mighty angel, the contents of this little book are something that had been previously given to the Old Testament prophets. I believe that the contents of this little book is exactly the same as what God had given to the prophet Daniel back in Daniel chapter 12 and verse 9. But remember what happened in Daniel chapter 12 and verse 9? In Daniel chapter 12 and verse 9, God gave some information to Daniel that you and I never got then. Because God told Daniel, seal it up until the time of the end. Folks, it's the time of the end now. What was sealed up in Daniel chapter 12 and verse 9 is now being opened up to you and I here in Revelation chapter number 10. It's those final judgments, in particular, the final set of the seven vial or bowl judgments. And that's what's about to be revealed. Now, the Bible says mystery, that the mystery of God should be finished. What is a Bible mystery? We've previously talked about this a lot. Folks, a mystery in the Bible is simply something that has been revealed in the has been concealed in the past, but is now being revealed or made known. A Bible mystery. He said the mystery of God should be finished. In other words, the closing things concerning this earth and redemption and judgment, all of those things are now going to be revealed and are being revealed in the pages of this little book that the angel has. And God even tells John in the very last verse of this chapter, he says, thou must prophesy again before many peoples and nations and tongues and kings. In other words, John, up until now you've been given a lot of information to give to the church, but there's still more. It's not over with yet. There's a lot more yet to come. The Bible says he set his right foot upon the sea and his left foot on the earth. In this action, this mighty angel is claiming everything for God. He's claiming the heaven and the earth and the sea and everything that's therein. He's claiming everything for God. The Lord Jesus Christ is going to finish up his perfect plan for the ages. Verse number 3. And cried, this angel cried with a loud voice as when a lion roareth. I'm sure I've told you folks this before. Many, many years ago, Trisha and I were in Albuquerque, New Mexico, and went to the zoo in Albuquerque. We were on one side of the zoo and we began to hear something. And it was something I just couldn't let go. I had to go see what was going on. Folks, what we began to hear was the roaring of a lion. I'd never heard this before. We were away from where the lions were. and we began to hear this thunderous roar, and it echoed all through that zoo. I don't know how far it went, but it sure came to where we were, and we began to walk. I said, "We've got to go see this." And we went. And there was a big male lion. He was standing right out in the middle. They had one of those big areas that's open and all. And this big lion, he was standing right out in the middle of it. And folks, I don't know what he was roaring about. I don't know if he was mad or glad or what the deal was. I have no idea in the world. But all I know, he was roaring. And that roar would get your attention. It was a thunderous thing. It was an eerie feeling. It'd make your skin crawl, as a matter of fact. And that lion roared and roared and roared. I don't know what was going on with him. And I never heard that before. But folks, it was a thunderous sound. A sound of strength. A sound that would strike fear. And in my mind, that's what I'm thinking about here. The Bible says that when this angel spoke, he spoke with a loud voice as when a lion roareth. And in my mind, I think about that actual lion roaring. And I hear a noise. I'm imagining a voice that just thunders and booms, and that John just couldn't get away from. He was drawn to it. He had to listen to what was said. The angel spoke as a lion roars. And when he had cried, when the angel had cried, seven thunders uttered their voices. Folks, I understand the seven thunders as being as the voice of God Almighty speaking. Thunder is a recognized type of God's voice as it relates to judgment. 1 Samuel 7:10, Psalm 18, verse 13, other portions of Scripture. Now, when John heard the seven thunders, they said something. Or rather, let me change it. He said something. God said something. Look at verse number 4. And when the seven thunders had uttered their voices, I was about to write. Now remember, that's what John's been being instructed to do, folks, all the time up until now. God has told him, he told him in chapter 1 and verse 19, he said, "I want you to write down the things that are the things which thou hast seen, and the things that are, and the things that shall be hereafter." And he'd been instructed on previous occasions, "Now whatever you see and hear, I want you to write it down," and that's what he's been doing. Now he's going to do the same thing. The voice of God thunders out. It's referred to as seven thunders. It's a voice of judgment. And God said something, and John heard it, and he was about to write it down. But the Bible says, "And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, seal up those things which the seven thunders uttered, and write them not." Now folks, there's no way that we can know what God uttered when He spoke and John heard it on this occasion. God doesn't tell us. John wasn't allowed to write it. It's a marvel to me how some Bible commentators go on now to try to tell us what God said during this time. Now, it doesn't matter what they say, we don't know what He said. You say, "Brother Kirkpatrick, do you have any idea what he said?" I don't have a clue in the world, folks. I do not know what God said. It was something significant. God had said previously concerning the book of Revelation that it was not to be sealed, that it was to be revealed to the church of this age. But folks, now there's just some new information here that's been given, some information that God chose not to give us. And John was not allowed to write it down. It's not unusual in the Bible, or not unknown in the Bible, for someone to not be allowed to say or write what they saw or heard. Of course, you all remember the Apostle Paul caught up into the seventh heaven. And the Apostle said, "It's not lawful for me to reveal the things that I saw or heard during that time." Now, you can you can believe whatever you want to about that. There's two schools of thought about the Apostle Paul. That some say that he wasn't really dead. Others say that he actually died and was caught up into heaven. I believe that he died and was caught up into heaven, folks. But that's for you to study, and that's a different study. But in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 is where Paul was said that he saw things that he was not permitted. It was not lawful for him to reveal. So it's not the first time in the Bible that something like that has happened. In verses 5 and 6, and the angel which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth lifted up his hand to heaven and swear by him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that therein are, and the earth and things that therein are, and the sea and the things that therein are, that there should be time no longer. This great angel, he lifts up his right hand. He's going to swear an oath now. And his oath is this: there's not going to be any time. There's not going to be time any longer. Now, folks, that phrase, time any longer, means there's not going to be any delay any longer. Remember now, there's 3.5 years of the tribulation period that's left to go. He's not saying that time is going to end right now. That phrase, that there should be time no longer, carries the idea of not being delayed any longer. In other words, God is going to finish the judgment process that He has begun upon the earth. He swore an oath. In Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 13, concerning this matter of swearing an oath, you remember, when you swear an oath, you're swearing by someone greater than yourself. You go into a court of law and you swear to tell the truth and the whole truth and nothing but the truth. You hold up your right hand, or I guess in old times you place your hand on the Bible, and they don't have you to place your hand on the Bible anymore. At least the last couple of times I've been to jury duty, that's not what they did. They had me to hold up my right hand, and you have to swear or pledge to be honest and truthful in all that you're doing. And I found out as a Christian, all you got to do is just be normal, folks. All you got to do is just be normal. Do you believe that thus and so is wrong? All you got to do is tell the truth. Do you believe that if someone uses foul language and drinks a lot of liquor, if that's a moral issue? Yes, I believe it is. You're out of here. So, I don't have to worry about getting on juries very much. So if they won't let me on there, I just tell the truth, and they look at me funny, and they look at me at the side of their eyes like that and all. And so they don't put me on many of them, but I hang everybody I can't. No, I'm just kidding. Way to get off the jury. Anyway, let's just go on. But the angel swore by God Almighty. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 13, it's interesting. The Bible talks about God swearing there. And it says because God could swear by no greater, He swore by Himself. I mean, there's nobody higher than God. So if God swears, folks, He has to swear by Himself. There's not anything or anybody higher than God. So when God swears, He just swears by Himself. I like that. I like that. You look, there's some other references there you can look up later on. He says that there should be time no longer. There would be no longer delay. That's explained in verse number 7. He says but in the days of the voice, he says in verse number 6, that there should be time no longer. And then he gives the explanation of that: but in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished. In other words, he's giving us a little information here. These judgments are going on earth. Remember the conditions of the first four seals. They never stopped through the whole 7-year tribulation period. And other judgments are being heaped on top of them. And this judgment process is going on. Now, for you and I, because we're so finite, God has had to put a pause in here to fill in some details for us. But this judgment process is going on the earth. And God's telling John, He says, listen. The last trumpet angel is about to sound. The seventh trumpet angel is about to sound. And when he sounds, the mystery of God is going to be finished. In other words, that which God has not revealed in the past, that He told Daniel to seal up in Daniel chapter 12, He said that's going to get finished now. There's not going to be any delay. This process is not going to stop, is what he's saying. This judgment process, which has begun, it's going to continue on until it's finished. The mystery of God, of course, is His final dealings with and judgments on man, His redemption of Israel, and His redemption of the earth. Look at verses 8 through 10. "And the voice which I heard from heaven spake unto me again and said, Go and take the little book." Now, folks, I understand this to be the Lord Jesus Christ that's speaking to John. I will tell you this. My Bible is a red letter edition. And, the red letters are supposed to be the words of Christ, but it doesn't have these words in red. I would remind you that those red letters are not inspired of God and all. And so the voice from heaven tells John, remember previously it's been the Lord Jesus Christ that's been speaking to John and instructing John. And I understand the same thing to happen here. I understand it this way. I understand the seven thunders to be the voice of God the Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ responding to that and telling John not to write down the things that the seven thunders uttered. Now, if you want to see that as God the Father, that's fine. There's not a problem there at all. Remember, there's only one God. He manifests Himself in three persons, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And so we're kind of picking at things here to even bring that up and all. But that's the way I would understand it. And the voice which I heard from heaven spake unto me and said, Go and take the little book which is open in the hand of the angel which standeth upon the sea and upon the earth. And folks, that takes some courage in my mind. That's a big old angel here. I mean, this is a big angel, and he's got one foot on the seas and one foot on the earth, and he's already had that hand up toward heaven. He sounds like a lion roaring, and he tells John, he said, Go take the book out of his hand. I'd have walked up to him very timid and said, Pretty please, could I have that book, you know, that you got in your hand? But God told him to. God said, I want you to go and take the book. And so John goes up and he says, I need that book. And the Bible doesn't say that. And well, it does. He says, Give me the little book. And the angel replies, and here's what he says. He said, I want you to take it and eat it up. And it's going to make your belly bitter, but it's going to be sweet as honey in your mouth. That thought of eating it up, folks, means to appropriate it, to make it a part of you. It carries the idea of meditating on the Word of God. You see, the symbolism of the Word of God as food is seen often in the Word of God. In Matthew chapter 4 and verse 4, in Jeremiah 15 and verse 16, in Psalm 119, 103, in 1 Peter 2, 2, Ezekiel chapter 2, verse 8 through chapter 3 and verse 3, and other places in the Word of God, the Bible brings before us this thought as the Word of God as being food. The Word of God as being food. The book was sweet. Now, what is the thought here? It's going to be bitter in his belly and sweet in his mouth. The book was sweet in that it told of final and absolute redemption of the earth and Israel and man in general. Now remember, folks, God is judging in the tribulation period, but God is bringing the plan of redemption to a close. Remember, the earth was built, was created by God and given to man for his inheritance. The usurper Satan came along and he took control of the earth from man, whom God had originally determined that man would own it and control it. Part of what's happening in the book of Revelation is the redemption of the earth from the Lord Jesus Christ is going to take it back from the usurper and turn it back over to man. And the sweet part is that God is in control, that God is going to win, folks. Don't make any mistake about it, child of God. We're on the winning side. I mean, we're going to win no matter what. We're going to win. Boy, that's the sweet part. You know what the bitter part is? The bitter part is that there's going to be some judgments yet to come that are even worse than what we've already seen. Folks, how can that be? How can that be? We've already seen half the world's population killed in the judgments. We've already seen the most depraved of demons that the mind of man could even imagine unleashed upon the earth and upon man. And some of those demons tormented men for 5 months, and other the demon army murdered a third of the world's population that hadn't already previously died. How can it be? How can it be that the judgments can be any worse? Well, they are, folks. Satan's going to be cast out of heaven. He's going to come down and he's going to be enraged, the Bible says, because he knows that his time is short. And folks, the ferocity, the terror of the last 3.5 years is going to be worse than it was the first 3.5 years. Well, every preacher or teacher of the Word of God must assimilate the Word and make it a part of them if they're going to minister to others. Folks, I never felt one time in my life that anybody would ever want to listen to anything you had to say if you were not yourself excited about the Word of God. I believe that anybody that's going to preach or teach has to be excited. They have to do this. You have to try to make the Word a part of you. You have to be excited about it if anybody is going to be excited with you. He's telling John, he says, listen. I want you to take the remaining information in the little book. I want you to take it in and make it a part of you, John, because, John, you've still got a lot to do. There's still some time involved in the judgment process. And, John, there's a lot of people you're going to have to give this information to. You're going to have to prophesy again before many peoples and nations and tongues and kings, John. There's a lot left to do. John is now responsible to minister and give us the thoughts that are found in the last 3.5 years of the tribulation period. Beginning with chapter 11, we'll take up new details, interesting thoughts, the first three verses especially. The first three verses of chapter 11 bring before us some events in the tribulation period. And then in chapter 11, we'll open the seventh trumpet and proceed from there.